Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Janelle, for leading us there again this morning. Let's go back to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And as I mentioned, we're just going to talk today about being alive on the inside, but particularly having a spiritual passion. And I guess the reason I'm talking about this, and I'm going to dabble in this issue of being alive on the inside between here and when we get into Christmas teaching and that type of thing. But I'm at a point in my life where I guess I can look back and I see a little stretch of road behind me and a whole lot of Christian experiences. And what I find is that the sense of mission that I have in my life and the passion for doing certain things that contribute towards spiritual health and me being like Jesus are probably more intense, and I do it more intentionally now than I even did when I was younger. And so one of the things that is so particular to me is this issue of being alive on the inside. In other words, if Jesus has not changed my life, then why on earth am I trying to bring others to Jesus and encourage the Christian church to experience the transformation that comes in mind and heart and in the way that we live if I'm not experiencing it myself? And so my thoughts today are really taken from John chapter 10 and verse 10. And this is where I base this whole issue of being alive on the inside. Jesus said, "I come that they may have life and have it to the full." Life here refers to the issue of being given eternal life. It means that I have a secure future with God after I die. And so, for me, this is an issue. If I do not know that I personally have eternal life, why am I trying to bring others to know that? That doesn't make sense to me. If I do not have that security, why am I talking as if you can have that security? So this is an issue. But the second part of the verse has to do with having life to the full. And in some of your Bibles, it has like to have life more abundantly. And so it means that when I come to know Jesus and my future is secure, then there's a part that happens day to day where my life is more enriched and my life takes on a new fullness, and I am transformed into being a person who is like the Lord Jesus. So it's about a transformation. And that means that I am alive. It means that when I look through my eyes, I see certain things, but I see them through an eternal perspective. And when I hear things in my ear, I am alive in terms of knowing what Jesus says and what Jesus expects, so that my ears filter what is true and what is not true. There is a sense also when we think of touch. I want to touch lives in such a way that it influences them toward knowing this God and having a life in spite of all the circumstances that may go on around us that truly knows an enrichment and a fullness that comes from God. And I'll even go as far when we talk about the five senses. I was thinking of this. I even want to smell like a Christian, okay? And we may think, well, what does that mean? Well, Paul is fairly clear. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, he says that God, through us, spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. And then in verse 16, he speaks of the fragrance of life to those who are Christ's family. So in a sense, when we walk into the room as a believer, none of us want to smell something dead. You know, it just isn't appetizing at all. And if you're around a person who just drains the life right out of you and just sucks it out and is negative and is like dead, who wants to be around a person like that?
On the other hand, I want to be the type of person that when others come around me, they are refreshed. And so the fragrance that they get from my life, because Jesus is alive in me and I am alive in Him, is that I am a refreshing person to be around. And I am positive in the sense of an eternal perspective, but I am not so heavenly minded that I'm no earthly good. And so for me, the joy of the Lord, peace, the issue of having a sense of humor that's tasteful, and all those good things, that is attractive. And so this little light of mine, I want to let it shine. And so when we talk about being alive on the inside, it's for the purpose of representing Jesus well through all of our senses. Now, I was thinking about this, and I pulled the little thesaurus and dictionary off my shelf in my office. And I was thinking, well, what does this mean? And one of the words that came to my mind was the word passion. So I looked it up. And the other word I'll introduce in a minute, but this word passion, being passionate on the inside. And this is what it says. It says it means that it could refer to emotion, character. It could mean that you have a disposition that's passionate. And we know that even among us, some of you have a personality that is more passionate. And sometimes it doesn't mean that you're just digging into things. It means that if you get you upset, your temper goes flying. And that temper was one of the words under being passionate. I'm passionate about something, and you're going to hear it if you're on another wavelength. The issue of spirit, tone, mood, desire, want. Now listen to the contrast that it gave in my thesaurus. It said a person would be indifferent, cold, frigid, lukewarm, unconcerned, listless. I don't want to be that kind of person. I think being alive on the inside means that I have a passion for Jesus. And that transforms into a passion in terms of my perspective on life, and it comes out in how I live. And so I want to be that type of person who is refreshing to be around. I smell good. I have an influence. I make a difference. It was just interesting that in my thesaurus, the next word after passionate was passive. So I looked at that word. Dullness. Unconcerned. Inactive. Sluggish. Sloth. Flat, slack, lifeless, dead. And then this word, uninfluential. Wow. I don't want to be there. Uninfluential. Dormant. And we know that this doesn't describe everything about a passive person, because you can be passive and still be passionate. But it just brings a sharp contrast in the person who is fully alive on the inside because of the impact that Jesus makes, and the person who is still flat and is drawing life under out of a person when you're around them versus giving it to them and refreshing their lives. So the issue is, what's on the inside does come out. We know that. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. But also our actions come. And so well does Proverbs 4:13 say, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life, drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I that my soul they satisfy. And this wellspring of life, that's what the heart is. So the question for me is, at this point in my life, and maybe you wrestle with this on a regular basis or from time to time, what would you like, what would you want to be? Or what would I what kind of a person would I want to be around? Or who would you want our church to be like? Because whatever's on the inside does come out. And the reality is that our church's health and our church's sense of being alive, that sense is only as good as each one of us as members are alive on the inside. So this is a major issue when I look back over the years and I kind of think, right now, what do I want to be? Because this is important. I would say it is God's will that we know Jesus, the one who gives us eternal life, and that because of knowing him, I live life to the full. And so let me just talk about two or three things about spiritual passion. Here in this text, I think that part of the issue is that spiritual passion comes by the life of Christ. In the Gospel of John, life is a major word. And it speaks of creation life. It speaks of all of life and the very fact that Jesus himself is life. John 14:6, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So a major issue in our life in regard to the life that comes in Jesus is right from this verse, I come that they might have. Do we have eternal life? Have we settled that issue with God? Am I secure about my future? We know that John 3:16 says that God so loved us that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And in John, even here, chapter 10, in verse 28, if you look across the page, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. What a tremendous promise to the person who turns from sin and asks Jesus to be their Savior. In chapter 17, in Jesus' great prayer, to know him is eternal life. Verse 3. So this is the first priority. In Jesus, I need to make sure that I have eternal life. It's not about being a church person. It's about being a Christian, which means Christ one. I'm one of Christ. I've given my life to him, and he's forgiven my sin, and he's given me the gift of eternal life that I can't accomplish on my own. The other thing about life in Jesus is that it is life to the full, and that applies to eternity because that is where we'll know the fullness of the salvation that he's promised. But it isn't limited to that. It means that on earth, right now, I can choose to follow Jesus and experience his saving influence that brings to me a richer, fuller life to be lived. Let's go back to, just flip back to chapter 7 here. In John, this is what I mentioned before when we were singing, drinking at the springs of living water. And Jesus, down in verse 37, on the first and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And we know that at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, and he came to live in believers. So the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to experience that change on the inside that leads us to a more full life, a more enriched life. So let me say this, that Jesus' purpose is to give us eternal life, but also to enrich our lives with the focus of joy. I know who I am. I know what I'm here to do. I know where I'm going. Those things are settled issue. And for me, that's where this spiritual passion begins. It begins by knowing Jesus. But then it's got to continue. Because as Brenda was reading, part of the issue that Jesus was bringing up here is I want you to understand that though there are those bad sheep, those bad teachers, those bad guides around, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And of course, he's proved his goodness, and he would increasingly prove his goodness until his death, burial, and resurrection near the end of the Gospels, and prove that indeed he overcame death, our greatest enemy, on our behalf. So spiritual passion, he says, comes by not just knowing me, but listening to me. Here, if you just look in verse 11, in verse 15, in verse 17, and verse 18, four times, Jesus uses the words, I lay down my life for the sheep. That's his visible goodness. Even in verse 3, in verse 14, in verse 17, verse 27, it says that Jesus knows our name, and also that the sheep listen to him because they know his voice. That's in verses 3 and 4 where Brenda read there. The Gentiles also in verse 27, that would be us, they are ones who will recognize his voice as well. So not only does spiritual passion start by me knowing Jesus personally, but spiritual passion develops as I listen to his voice. And I'm not talking here, and neither is Jesus, about simply hearing. Because many people hear Jesus as he walked on planet Earth. And many people today hear Jesus as the scripture is read or taught. But listening is more intentional. It means, okay, I heard this truth, and now I need to chew on it. And I need to evaluate what I've heard. And I need to apply it to my life. And the person who has given their life to Jesus is very intentional in listening to him because they know his voice. And so when they listen, it's just not hearing, but listening with a trusting heart, which is always a prerequisite to following him. That's what Jesus said back in verses 3 and 4. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. That is a part of developing the spiritual passion, being alive on the inside. As we see Jesus laying down his life for us, that's a demonstration of his love for us, and I want to follow him. And that involves listening. And I'll say more about this in the weeks to come, but one of the greatest things that I've noted through my life is that there are times that I think I was following, but I'm not sure how good I was listening. And if I wasn't really listening, I also think I deviated or I stopped following. Whether or not I called myself a Christian or not, I was not a Christ follower. And that term is probably more accurate in terms of what God's intention for us than merely saying, well, I'm a Christian. Because that so often today is just a zing word. I want to be a Christ follower. And the only way I can do that is I need to know the gift of eternal life that comes through Jesus. That puts me in God's family. But then if I am really a follower, I know his voice because he demonstrated his love to me. And I am listening. I am listening when he tells me something. And of course, that does for us because we weren't there when Jesus was on planet Earth. That involves my Bible. We cannot have spiritual passion without reading the Scripture. Our opening Scripture this morning, the law of the Lord refreshes the soul. It gives the soul wisdom. It gives the soul warning. It gives the soul joy. Why? And the psalmist in Psalm 19 was just alive with the impact that listening to God's word had on his life. And I think more and more, and there are some texts we could go through to, like at the end of chapter 11 in Romans and also in Proverbs, that just tell us that those who learn to listen and obey because they trust what God says, and that's for our best, those people are enriched. If we choose not to listen, then we will not develop a spiritual passion. We will not be alive on the inside. And then just finally, spiritual passion for me looks like Jesus. You see, I've come to know him. And I said now, okay, I know his voice. I'm going to follow him by listening. But the question is, does that enter into where I live? Because we sometimes have the thought that anyone with a spiritual passion is just one who's walking around with overlaid eyes and they're in a hairy-fairy world that doesn't make common sense whatsoever. And so they're sort of a tuned-out individual. Now, you can be sure that there are tuned-out individuals and we need to pay attention to what we're seeing here. But my question is, Jesus had spiritual passion. He indeed was tuned in to the will and the word and the ways of his heavenly Father. And he was listening. He was following the Father's will. But let me challenge you. Was Jesus ever perceived as being one who was so heavenly minded he was no earthly good, or he walked around with overlaid eyes as if I'm in a starry world? Was Jesus ever that way? Now, be sure of this, that Jesus was accused, even in verses 19 and 20 here in this chapter, that they accused him as being one who was demon-possessed and raving mad. But it wasn't because his eyes were bugging out. It's because they didn't like what he was saying, because he spoke the truth with love and they didn't like it. And even later on, Paul was accused of being mad by Festus, and believers, they were accused of being drunk in Acts chapter 2 because of the way that they were living and acting. But it has nothing to do with being zoned out. What does it look like to be a Jesus follower and to have that passion? Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Because to me, this is the simplest definition. And it's a portion that we're aware of to the point where we can remember it fairly clearly. In Galatians 5, verses 16 through to the end of the chapter, he's contrasting the person who lives according to their sinful nature and the person who lives according to the Holy Spirit. And they're listening to what the Holy Spirit is prompting them to trust and believe and know and love through Scripture. If a person is listening to God and responding to the Holy Spirit, look at verse 22. The fruit, what grows out of listening to the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace. Do you see it? Life is enriched already. This is life more abundant. This is life to the full. But don't stop there. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passion and its desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So what does the person look like who has a spiritual passion that because they know Jesus and they're listening to him, and now it becomes demonstrated in the way that they live? It's that person who is loving and who has peace, who is joyful and has been transformed to be a patient person. They're long-suffering and so on that we read. This is a person I want to be. It's a person that I want to be around. It's the type of person that ought to characterize our lives as those who claim to know Jesus. And what Jesus is bringing out here is that this is a possibility in each one of our lives. When we studied Ephesians earlier last year and then into the new year this year, one of the verses that we looked at was chapter 4 and verse 16, where the ultimate goal of Jesus for our life is to attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So life to the full, it really is measured and evaluated and demonstrated and characterized by me growing to display in my character the fullness of maturity, because I'm like Jesus. He was love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And we saw Jesus walk through his early years, do his ministry where his passion for people was so obvious, but also we watched him suffer and be scorned and tortured, and we watched him die and be buried. But even there, his passion was alive. Because in the garden, he said, "Now, Father," and this is in great intensity of suffering, "if it is possible, let this cup or this event not have to happen. Nonetheless, Father, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus followed his Father's will. He listened to his Father. And even in the most adverse circumstances that he faced in his life, his passion for spiritual things and obedience to his Father was alive. The great thing is this, that God honored him through his resurrection, and Jesus voluntarily gave himself to die. As we said last week, I think it wasn't nails that kept him on the cross. It was his love for us. He surrendered all. But that obedience was rewarded by the Father. So at this point in my life, when I think of being alive on the inside, living life to the full, it all goes back to the spiritual foundation of knowing Jesus personally. And the first priority in my life is to live with a spiritual passion. Paul wrote, "The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than it was when we first believed." Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And even in Revelation 3, where some churches were half asleep, Jesus said to them, "Now wake up, and if you do not wake up." And so for me, this emphasis in being fully alive on the inside, wide awake, listening and following, becomes something that is so pure compared to just being a church person. It is so dynamic and life-changing that as I get to the point where I'm going to finish my race in life, I want to finish well. And this is one of the big priorities, more intense now than it was even in years past in my walk with Christ. I want to be alive on the inside. And that comes through Jesus. And I want to be around people who are alive on the inside. And we want to have the aroma, the fragrance, the influence of being a living demonstration of being alive on the inside, touch the lives of people who come in contact with us. This is God's will for our lives. And may God help us to not fall asleep. Okay, we can fall asleep in a moment or two. No, we don't want to be that way. We want to be full of spiritual passion. And that doesn't mean being emotionally way up here all the time. Some of the most dynamic, spiritually geared, passionate believers are quiet. But you can see it in their eyes. And I watch eyes wherever I go. And I see in eyes sometimes the living, but sometimes I see this person's walking dead, you know, and that's not good. We want to be those who have life to the fullest. May God help us. Now, our last hymn this morning is a prayer in that regard. And Janelda's going to come and lead us. Revive us again. Fill our hearts with your love. May our souls be rekindled with fire from above. Let's stand and sing.
Just a reminder to the men, if you have not yet signed up for the breakfast next Saturday morning, if you could do that, it will help us to know how many to plan for. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, it's so easy along the road of life to get tired. And sometimes those of us who claim to be Christ followers can be running on empty. And so we find that even in regard to spiritual things, if we're not careful, we're so tired that we don't develop that spiritual passion on the inside because of love for Jesus and listening to Jesus and wanting to be like Jesus. And sometimes we just get sluggish. Any one of us can be in this trap. Lord, help us not to go there. Help us to be alive on the inside. Help us to represent Jesus well. In Christ's name, amen.